And take a copy of God's Word and turn to the book of Acts in chapter 18. The book of Acts in chapter 18, verses, we'll be reading verses 1 through 23. 1 through 23 of Acts chapter 18. And this is God's holy, inerrant, infallible Word. I'll give your attention to it. And these things he left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them. And they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. And he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the Word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. For now on I will go to the Gentiles." Then he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God, whose house was next to the synagogue. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord and with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city." And he settled there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. But while Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat, saying, "This man persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or a vicious crime, O Jews, it would be reasonable for me to put up with you. But if there are questions about words and names and your own law, look after it yourselves. I am unwilling to be a judge of these matters." And he drove them away from the judgment seat. And they all took hold of Sosthenes, the leader of the synagogue, and began beating him in front of the judgment seat. But Gallio was not concerned about any of these things. Paul, having remained many days longer, took leave of the brethren and put out to sea for Syria. And with him were Priscilla and Aquila. In Centria he had his hair cut, for he was keeping a vow. Then he came to Ephesus, and he left them there. Now he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay for a longer time, he did not consent, but taking leave of them, saying, "I will return to you again if God wills." He set sail for Ephesus. When he had landed in Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and went down to Antioch. And having spent some time there, he left and passed successfully through the Galatian region and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. And that is the word of the Lord to us this morning as we're considering it. Paul left Athens for Corinth. And having come, he met Aquila and Priscilla, and there he stayed with them. They had a common job, tent making. And so he stayed with them and helped them with that. And it was during that time that every Sabbath he would go to the synagogue, and he was preaching to the Jews and the Greeks. But once Silas and Timothy came, Paul devoted all of his time to preaching. He was not only in the synagogues, but he was preaching particularly to the Jews that Jesus was the Messiah. And yet they rejected the gospel. They blasphemed, and Paul responded by saying that he would begin preaching to the Gentiles. And in Corinth, among the Gentiles, many believed in the gospel, and they were being baptized. And even we see there that Crispus, in verse 8, the leader of the synagogue of the Jews, he even believed. So great success as the church continued to grow in Corinth and the surrounding regions. And a word of encouragement came by to Paul by the Lord through a vision, verses 9 and 10. And Paul remained in Corinth for a year, being called not to be afraid And he was there a year and a half teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. And many were coming to believe in the gospel. Verses 12 to 17, we see how the Lord protected Paul. He fulfills his vision that he gave to Paul, not to be afraid. And he protected Paul as he had just promised he would. And because we see the trouble that Paul faced while there in Corinth, the Jews tried to have Paul taken out, but it was not to be. Gallio told the Jews that they would have to deal with Paul themselves, according to their own law. And we find in verse 17 that those non-converted Gentiles under Gallio are shown to have gone to the head of the synagogue there, then Sosthenes, and began beating him. Sosthenes probably being the leader who called upon the Jews to bring this argument about Paul to Gallio. And then he was beaten. And what a great mercy it is then when we turn to 1 Corinthians. The letter to the Corinthians, he's in Corinth, Paul's in Corinth, and so here, 1 Corinthians 1:1, we see that Paul calls Sosthenes, the one who's beaten, the one who's probably the leader, he is the leader of the synagogue of the Jews at this time, he's beaten, and then 1 Corinthians 1:1, Paul calls Sosthenes his brother. So God's mercy and grace is shown to him, bringing him to faith sometime along from this point until then. We don't know when, we don't know where. But Sosthenes comes to faith in Jesus Christ. And so we see God's mercy and grace even shown to him. And the remaining verses detail Paul's travels after Corinth and Centuria, Ephesus, Caesarea, Antioch, where the second missionary journey would end in Antioch. The missionary journeys tend to end in Antioch. And then he begins his third missionary journey in verse 23, Galatia and Phrygia, and he was in that region preaching the gospel. Our beloved, like Paul, we're being called here just to be faithful. Faithful to proclaim the word as we are able, to testify of what God has done for us and who he is and his great works. It is up to the Lord to convert. We see here that Paul doesn't convert people. He just preaches the gospel, and then sometimes people rebel and blaspheme God. Sometimes people believe. And it's all based upon who are the elect of God and who God calls unto himself by his Spirit. And we're only the instruments to bring the message that he uses. And so sometimes there will be a great harvest of souls. Sometimes for us there will be very few, and seemingly none will come to faith in Jesus. Sometimes persecution. And yet at all times, the Lord's protection, just as he promised here to Paul. So persevere, beloved, for the glory of the Lord. You may die in the body, but your soul is protected by the Lord forever. And you'll be given a new glorified body. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for, again, in this book of Acts, the clear proclamation of the gospel to a hostile people. A hostile people who are, we might think, are could not be as hostile as the people here in our world today. And yet they were just as much as hostile to the gospel. For all sinners are hostile to the gospel. It is an offensive thing. And so, Father, we ask that you would cause us to be faithful and remain not to fear, for there's only fear of the judgment. For your people, Lord, there should be no fear of judgment. For in Christ we have been saved from your wrath, by the blood of your Son, and by his body given. And so, Father, we ask that you would care for our souls. We ask that you would protect us, as you promised to Paul. Maybe that is not to protect us until throughout the rest of our life, so we live to a good old age. And maybe we will die in a short amount of time. Even some of us who are young, and maybe even some of us for proclaiming the gospel. We do not know. And yet, Father, we ask that you would protect us and keep us and guard us with the great host and armies of your angels surrounding us on all sides. And as we've seen in Zechariah already, the protection that we have from you with Jesus and the armies, his armies. And so, Father, we ask that you would give us comfort. Comfort in your Son. Comfort in your presence that we have by your Spirit And even as we come into your presence and worship you now, we are before your throne. We are in your presence. And you have invited us to come. Lord, let us all here heed that invitation and come boldly to the throne of grace because of your Son and through your Son and by your Spirit. Now, Father, we would ask that you would bless your people. We know that we struggle in our bodies. There are illnesses and cancers among us, broken bones or strained tendons or whatever it might be. Lord, we ask that you would strengthen our bodies to serve you. Strengthen our bodies, not just so we can live longer, but that so that your gospel would go forth and we would proclaim it and you would give us mercy in these things for your glory. And bring us into your heavenly kingdom at the right time, as you have numbered our days. And Father, we do pray for our government, which is struggling now. We thank you that you have given us a government, and yet, Father, we ask that you would give us peace with our government, and peace and the ability to worship freely. We do pray for Larry, that you would cause him to be able to go back to work soon, and that this government shutdown thing would end soon. Should be your will for your people, at least for the good of your people who work for the government. And then finally, Father, we do ask that you would be with us, this church. We thank you for this wonderful day, the Lord's Day, the day that we get to come and rest, not just in our bodies to sleep or whatever that is, Father, but that we can rest in you and we can drench ourselves with your word. And so, Father, we ask that you would bless your people because of this day that you call us to worship you. And as we come together as God's, your people, as the body of Christ, Lord, may your word go forth and may you give us ears to hear. For we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.